up here. I wanted to say this about our guest speaker tonight. We do have the privilege of partnering with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, been supporting Brother Glenn Seabass. And I've known you for a few years now. Not a terribly long time, but feels like a few years. And I remember when I was pastoring out in Zolfo Springs, probably 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and Brother Seabass came by and preached, and then after that, he's always tried to be an encouragement. He would call me up. I remember a couple times, called me up. He says, "I'm not looking for a meeting. I'm just calling to see how things are going." Really? And as it was a small church, and I was, you know, struggling from time to time, and just really an encouragement. And just continuing to do God's work, and I'm so blessed by their ministry. And he puts his heart into preaching. I'm thinking with a broken leg, maybe I can keep up with him. But we thank the Lord that he's healing up, and we're glad they're here tonight. So we're going to have, my wife and I are going to sing a special, Miss Jen and I. And then he'll come preach.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er gain sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Go ahead and get out your Bibles. Turn to Acts. Look out, all right, amen, okay, now we're going to be too loud, amen, amen. You know, very interesting verse in the book of Matthew, Many times we look at one particular verse, but there's another verse in Matthew 25. The Bible says, "For I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in, naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visited me not." It's a judgment upon, you know, the church. God commands us in Isaiah 61 to go to the meek, go to the lowly, to go to the... And the reason is because guess what? They're ready to receive. Amen. And so I appreciate what he said at the beginning. He's talking about the, you know, he says, I coordinated with the Samaritan people going to the prison. So do I. The Samaritan people, guess what they had? They had a bad record. Had a bad family record. They couldn't prove that they were Jewish all the way. And they were shunned. Well, these people have a bad record too, and it's just as bad in America as we know it today as it was back then, just not to be known as being fully Jewish at that time, and they were shunned. And so so I give it that correlation. Yes, we're going to some people that are basically considered Samaritan. They've been put off, put away. We don't have to worry about them. We don't need to think about them anymore. But the truth is they need Jesus. Jesus said, if you look at those verses in Matthew, guess what? They're written in red. So who said them? Jesus said, "I was in prison and you visited me not." You know, Jesus is already in there convicting the hearts. It's our command for us to go. And God called me, I don't know why, to go to prison. I guess I sort of fit in. I don't know. But I'll tell you who else fits in. Amen. I'd like for you just to hear something from my wife, just for a second, if we could. Well, not a second. I'll give you 2 seconds. But we've had something come around, a new ministry, and I know she'd like to share about that just a little bit.
Thank you for your support and your prayers. I did want to give you an update on what we've been doing. We had a different chaplain come in, and she's been really receptive. The previous chaplain was very receptive, and she actually got our foot in the door to go into the different age group called the youthful offenders. And they keep them separate from the general population. And so they eat separately, and they're not allowed to come into the chapel services. So we asked her if we could come and have a character class. So we went in September for 4 days, and then kind of a mix-up. She said, "Well, you coming in October?" And we're like, "Oh, yeah, we'll come." So we went back in October. And we have classes from like 9 to 11 in the mornings. And then in the afternoon, I asked the other chaplain, I said, "Well, if we're there, can we go to confinement?" Because we only get to confinement twice a year. And she said, "Sure, come on." So we, another lady volunteer, her name is Debbie, she's gone with me the last 2 times. And so we had classes in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we went to confinement. And it's just been an exciting time. One day, we sat in the car and we looked at each other, and I said, "Debbie, I don't know if the Lord can." I said, "I know the Lord could do it, but today was an amazing day." It was our second day in. The first day we went in, we got to visit one inmate, and she said, "I'm so glad you came to my door." She said, "Because yesterday there were some ladies visiting, and they stopped right next to me, and they never got to me." Well, she got saved that day. And then they had something was going on. Their count was off, so we had to sit, and we waited and waited and waited, and we never got to go back in. So the second day we went in, we were switched to a different area. And whenever I go in, I pray, "Lord, just guide us. Show us where you want us to go." And we had, I can't remember the number, but we had quite a few saved in one day, and we just looked at each other. We were just, like, so excited. I think it was 11. I think we had 11 saved in one day. And, I take that back. It might have been 10. But anyway, it was just, we were just stunned. We couldn't believe it. And when they're in confinement, that's the jail within prison. So they've gotten into trouble, or they might be in there for protective custody. This last time we went in, I went into a different area, and I got to meet a lot of the inmates that are in protective custody. And I got to pray with them and encourage them, and we had several saved that time, too. But the classes are neat because I get to know the inmates that come in, and they come in, and they, they don't have smiles on their faces. A lot of times they're tired because they don't get a lot of sleep because it's noisy in the dorm, and they wake them up early, and they'll come in and really tired. But we'll get singing with them, and we sing a lot of songs that you would sing maybe in junior church. And one of the songs we sing is "His Banner Over Me Is Love." Well, the one inmate came in, and she's like, "I have an issue with that song." And we're like, "Okay, what's wrong?" She says, "I've been singing that song all night long in my head." And I said, "Good, good." And she's kind of like a ringleader. You think she's probably the ringleader? Yeah, she's kind of the ringleader in the group. And I did something different with him the other day. I said, my husband wasn't even in there. He probably would have said, "Oh, I can't believe you did that." But anyway, I said, "I want each of you," because they were getting kind of riled up and upset at each other. And I said, "I want each of you to say something nice about somebody in here." And I pointed to one inmate, and I said, "Can you say something nice about this girl here?" And they're like, "No, no, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that." I said, "Okay, can somebody stand up and say something nice?" And so they did. And that one girl that's the ringleader, she stood up, and she started crying. And she said something about a girl in the back. And she says, "I know you haven't talked to me in a while, but when I first came, you," and she just kind of gave a testimony about how she had encouraged her. And I thought, well, you know, if we can not only see them saved, but help them restore friendships with each other. And I encourage them to live for the Lord as best as they can. And I know it's a process, and I appreciate your prayers. We're going back this coming week. No, wait, I think it's in 2 weeks we're going. Yeah. 2 weeks we'll be going in. And then we'll be going in December as well. So please, I appreciate if you pray for us. And if you ladies would like to get involved as far as some supplies that we need, see me afterwards, and I can give you an idea of what we're looking for to bring into them. So thank you so much. Oh, and I also want to say, this is my dad. Raise your hand. And his wife, Karen. My dad would take me to church, my brother and I, in the middle of a snowstorm. He didn't care. So I'm so thankful to be in church with my dad on a Friday night. It was a dream of mine since I was a teenager. I always prayed. So thank you.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When I got the paperwork about the missions conference, I had noticed that we had written that we're talking about faith promise missions and some of these things. So I'd like to be able to share something with you that the Lord gave me in my studies just in the last couple of months. About 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and if you would stand with me, please. I'm going to relate it to another verse in just a moment. But if you're able, you don't have to if you're not able, okay? But 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 1, please. I'm giving a moment for the deacons to find it. No, I like to have fun, amen? Now, people say, you know, you shouldn't have fun in church. If I can't have fun in church, I'm never going to have fun because I'm in church all the time. I have church on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night in prison, you know, then Saturday, then Sunday. People asked me 1 week, they said, "What day is this?" I said, "I don't know. I think it's the fourth Sunday of this week. Because that's what it seems like to me. So I like to have fun. And as she said, so many times the prisoners come in and they got this downtrodden look on their face. But we get them smiling and get them loosened up just a little bit, and they're that much more receptive to the Word of God. And so we sing with them and preach the Word of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Have you found it, Pastor? Oh, okay, good. All right, here we go. All right. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Now I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Very interesting verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. "For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches? except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you. Forgive me this wrong. Father, I pray that you bless us now, Lord. Help us as we look into the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you give me unction of the Spirit to be able to bring forth the lesson that you have brought to me, Lord, to help us, Lord, in this time when we decide, Lord, when we look at the things that you would have us to do as far as supporting and helping missions and those abroad, that the gospel might be preached in all nations, in all places. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, He who is living and coming again, we ask it, Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. First off, these are two very contrasting verses, aren't there? And they're both written by Paul. This particular book, 2 Corinthians, is written to the Corinthian people. Now, I heard one time of a group, they called themselves the Singing Corinthians. And I said, that's not a good thing. The Corinthian people had a lot of problems, amen. If you read through the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, read through those two books, you're going to find out they kept on messing up and having mistakes and all other sorts of things. And so he's talking to the Corinthian people and he says, hey, I want you to think about something. You say, what do you mean? Back 2nd Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 with me, please. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. We do you to wit. I want you to think about God's grace that's on Macedonia. You Corinthian people, you know, we've talked about a lot of things here through 1 Corinthians and about mistakes and about problems that are going on within the church and how you're shunning people and how things aren't going quite so right. But listen, let me help you with something. Think about Macedonia. Think about Macedonia. Now, if you were to look at these two people and understand, here's one thing that we're going to find out about the Macedonian church and the people in the Corinthian church. First of all, the Corinthian people thought they were up here. The Macedonian people thought they were down here. All right? Say, where are you going to get that from? Let's go ahead and look here a little further. I want you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction... You know what? The Macedonian church was going through a lot of affliction. The Macedonian church was having difficulties upon the people. There's something going on. I don't know exactly what everything that is going on here at this time, but I want you to know the Bible doesn't say they're going through a trial of affliction. The Bible says they're going through a great trial of affliction. Amen? The Macedonian people would be the last place that you would think that you would go to be able to get some help. The truth is the Macedonian people is the people that you go to help, period. Because they're underneath a lot of trials right now. They're having a lot of difficulties within Macedonia. And you know what? But I want you to go back to verse 1. I want you to wit of the grace of God that is bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. I want you to know something. If you're going through a trial, if you're going through difficult times, if things aren't always going your way, amen, I want you to understand, when things aren't always going your way, that God doesn't give up on you. God gives you more grace to be able to go through it, amen. He helps you more. He's there. He's more present at such a time as that. Because God never leaves us alone. Amen. He's always with us. And he says, I want you to understand something, Corinthian people. Hey, these people over here that you're looking at, by the way, they must have known of them for him to mention them to them, right? I want you to think about Macedonia. They must have known of Macedonia. They must have known of the trials and afflictions that these people were going through. He says, I want you to think about them, that they are in a great trial of affliction. And I'm sure some of the Corinthian people are going, yeah, yeah, they deserve that. That'll teach them. They're not like us. We're great people. Well, that's not what God talks about there in verse 2 of chapter 8. The Bible says, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Huh? What did you say, Paul? We know about their trials of affliction. What did you just say? The Bible says that he says the abundance of their joy. I want you to know that God is not hindered by difficulties or afflictions. You see, what our problem is we want to be happy. You don't need happy. You need the joy of Jesus. Amen. I want you to know, just because you got a little problem with your foot, just because you fall off your roof because your wife is mad. No, she's not. You break your ankle, you break your heel, you crush your foot. And when you get down there and you look at your leg and it's over there and it's supposed to be over here. Thank you, Jesus. No, it was more like, ah! You know, hey, there's some afflictions, amen. Afflictions come. And I remember my first thing is always this. When something happens, hey, I cut my hand off 12 years ago. And I did what I did then. I did what was natural. That leg doesn't belong there, so I just reached over there and snapped it back to where it belonged. I never heard such crunching and everything in all my life. But I felt better with it looking straight rather than looking like that. There's afflictions going to come. But I want you to know I didn't sit there and go, you know what, God? I'm not going to serve you anymore because look what you did to my leg. What? Trials and afflictions are going to show you where you stand with God. Because the Bible says even of these trials and afflictions that the Macedonian people were going through, that they had abundance of joy. Because Jesus' joy is not limited by trials. Jesus' joy is not limited by great trials, but rather it shows forth the abundance of His joy to be able to go through it. Amen? Verse 2 goes on, how that in the great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. You notice the mountains that we're going on right now? Great trial of affliction. Abundance of joy. And then it goes back again to their deep poverty. Man, talk about a roller coaster ride. These people have joy. And then the Bible also says that they have a deep poverty. They haven't got a whole lot. But that other dip didn't affect their joy in Jesus. Not at all. In fact, it says here that their poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. What? These people, though they didn't have a lot, knew how to be liberal with what God gave them. Some people, I haven't got much. The widow didn't have much, but when she gave the mite, she gave more than anybody else. When she was obedient to God, she was able to give. And God said, look at all this woman gave. She gave more than everybody else. And those men stand with God, stand with Jesus, are going, what? I want you to know, it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot to please the Lord. It takes a person. It takes a person who's determined to serve the Lord. How's that? For to their power, verse 3 says, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. These people, listen, in spite of the fact they didn't have a whole lot, they were still willing to do something. We want to do something for God. We want to do something for the Lord. When Paul came by saying, boy, this is going to be a rough week. I'm going to have to just help these people and help these people and help these people. They were joyful. They were saying, what can we do to help? And he's like, "What? Look at how bad you are. No. These people, the Bible says, verse 3, 4, to their power. These people had something in them. They had a power beyond themselves that would help them to be able to get beyond affliction, to get beyond poverty, and make themselves people of joy and of liberality, willing to give, willing to do whatever. I bear a record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. First thing we got to be, people, I want you to understand something. If you're going to be able to do what God wants you to do, you got to first be willing. Be willing. We've gotten to the point anymore today in churches, we aren't having too many young people come forward and say, listen, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you call me to do. We've come to the point today, people in churches and people that have gotten older, they say, you know what? I can't do anything. We aren't willing to do things for the Lord anymore. There needs to be a willing heart. There needs to be a willing soul that says, my God's given me joy, and whatever it takes, I'm going to serve Him. Amen. Amen. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. They were willing to give themselves. Listen, we want to help you, Paul. We want to help you. I find that people that are in the toughest situations, a lot of times, usually end up being the people that are most willing to help. Amen? Don't consider yourself to be out of it. Consider yourself to be in a position that God has put you that you might be able to show forth Jesus Christ and His joy and His liberality in your own life. And then I saw something sort of comical. At least to me it was comical. And Peter says, and this they did, not as we hoped. Paul had to admit, listen, they didn't do it the way I was hoping they would do it. I could see Paul telling the Lord, no, please don't make me look quite this bad. I know I'm bad enough, but no, write that down, Paul. This they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord. They were willing. And there's a lot of people that are willing. But I want you to know something. Until you're the Lord's, He can't use you. Until you surrender to Him, He can't use you. Until you say, Lord, whatever it is you'll have me to do, He can't use you. There needs to be a time in your life that you say, Lord, I'm going to do whatever it is that you call me to do. I'm going to do whatever it is you ask me to do. And the Bible says here in verse 5, this we did not as we hoped. I don't know if he was looking for the money or gain or anything like that. They brought another thing to us. They said, listen, just accept our help. But before we do that, let us give ourselves to the Lord. The greatest thing that you could ever do is first give yourself unto the Lord to do whatever it is He has called you to do. You say, I don't know what it is. Pastor admitted that. I was the same way when I went to college. I'm not sure what's going to happen when I get out of this place. All right, I'm learning the Bible. Well, Lord, whatever you want. I remember going home and we got a little apartment, my wife and I, and we moved into one apartment, and within a couple of weeks we got the call from the church, and it's like, but we just got the apartment. Well, right, I'm going. Amen. Just a willingness to say, when God opens the door, I'm going to walk through it. Amen? We were ready. We were willing to serve. They first gave their own selves to the Lord, though. We had both committed our lives to serve the Lord. And then the Bible goes on to say there, and unto us by the will of God. Hey, people, listen to me. They gave themselves to the Lord and then unto us. Who's us? Paul, and the men that were following and helping him. They didn't just give themselves unto the Lord. You know what? There's people in church that say, hey, I'll give myself to the Lord, but I don't like that preacher. Now, I'm sure you don't have that problem here. Your preacher's very kind. He's a great man. I love him. I'm not going to make a joke about that. You really are very kind. I'll tell you, you can give me that 20 later. Anyway. Hey, a great guy, loves the Lord, wants to preach the word, amen, and willing to stand up here and to serve the Lord. You see, there's some people who say, well, I just don't like that preacher. Well, maybe you need to find another church. Now, I'm not trying to kick anybody out here, preacher, but I'm just saying. give themselves first to the Lord, you're going to find it a whole lot easier to give it to your preacher. Some people say, I don't know what to do. We'd have people come to our church when we were in Ohio. We had a man come to our church. He had emphysema and everything else going on, had one lung and all these things. He said, I just want to serve the Lord. What can I do? So, well, why don't you just, you know, come out and pick up the cans? Well, I'm not sure how to do that. I went out and got him one of those picker-upper things. And he'd come early in the morning to church because he was always there way before anybody ever got there. And he'd go out in the parking lot with that picker-upper and he'd pick up all the beer bottles. Our church was built right next to a bar in Ohio. It had been built before the laws had come through about having a bar next to it, so there was no way we were going to get rid of it. And so you know it was on our parking lot. Beer bottles, beer cans, everything else. So that man would come early in the morning, 80-some-odd years old, you know, a veteran of the Lord, and go out there and just, you know, a veteran of wars too, and he'd pick up those just because he wanted to serve God. I want you to know that if you're sitting in here today, you say, I don't know what to do. Ask your pastor. I think he could probably find you something. Because when you surrender to God, I want you to know you surrender to God's man, and God's man is the next person you need to go ahead and put yourself under and say, what do you want me to do, Lord? And he'll help you. He'll help you to be able to serve the Lord. By the way, when you start serving the Lord, you get what the Macedonian people had. Joy. And that joy can't be squelched, or whatever the word is. I was quenched. I was got in between squelched and quenched somewhere. I got a new word, squelched. It's quenched. Something. Anyway. Hey, folks! Give yourself to God. Give yourself to the leaders of the church, and God will help you to be able to find His joy. I know a lot of people sitting in churches, you know what? They got the sourest look on their faces. Hey, go ahead, stand up here and try to preach to that for a while. Have mercy on the preacher.
Go sit next to that person in the back row that's always frowning at me and tickling when I look at them so they have a smile.
I don't know what it's going to take, folks, but I want you to understand something. You know what our churches are lacking? They're lacking the joy of the Lord. They think they're lacking that they can do anything. They're saying, but we're in poverty, but we're having great trials. And God says, yes, so that I can show forth my grace and my glory through you. Amen.
Bible says they brought something to Paul. Not what he wanted, but they brought something. I don't know if it was an old chicken or what, but he brought something. We had a great meal before the service. Thank you so very much. And Brother Rico ate most of it. Anyway, That man can eat. That's like I say, amen. Praise the Lord. You are a Baptist. Amen. All right. Anyway, amen.
Praise the Lord for the opportunity. I want you to understand the lows are not anything that can bound you. If you will follow and ask God, listen, Lord, I give myself unto you. And He says, great, give yourself unto my man and I'll show you where you can go. I'll show you my joy. I'll do much more than that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you the great grace of God to overshadow everything that you're doing. It takes God's grace. Amen. Now follow with me once again, if you would please, to book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to go the total other side just for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Paul, once again speaking, but now he's speaking directly. He's not saying, I want you to look at Macedonia. I want you to look at this. He said, no, I want you to look at yourself for a second. For what is it wherein ye were inferior? Now, I don't know about you, but this put me back just a little bit. I was like, what? Whoa, wait a minute. Paul says, hey, you people, you're inferior. I've read this through many times, brother, but it was the first time it just sort of hit me in the face. Paul looked right at the Corinthian people and said, you are inferior. The Bible says, what is it wherein ye were inferior to the other churches? You know what?
The Corinthian church had much. If you read about the Corinthian church, they put together big meals and all this other. They had a lot. They had a lot going for them. They had a lot of people in the church. But he said, when it comes to Macedonia, I want to understand something. You're inferior. What were they inferior? How were they inferior? The grace of God couldn't be exercised in that church because they were all about themselves. They were all about what they had. When you talk about the Lord's Supper, did you ever really read that through about the Lord's Supper? About what was really going on? Some of you bring your meals and you sit down and you eat while other people sitting over there starving. And you won't even give them of anything that you have. And you say you are celebrating the Lord's Supper. Seems to me the Lord is more about sharing than just keeping for yourself. They denied other people the ability to fellowship and have the fellowship of God in their life because I've got more than you, you just sit over there. They were inferior because they had riches. They had a great amount of things. They were inferior because they didn't have the joy of Jesus. Instead, they were all arguing, trying to figure out who was better than the other one. And they were all arguing and trying to figure out if it's okay to do this or do that all the time. Not looking at the Word of God. Not just trying to go straight forward with what they had, but always looking for something else. My wife and I were driving here tonight. My wife said, look at that. Looked to the side and there was a cow. Huge expanse of field, green, with its neck stretched right through the gate all the way over, getting eaten the grass on the other side. I mean, huge expanse, huge field. I want what's on the other side. The Corinthian people were the ones always sticking their neck through the fence. I couldn't look at what God wanted them to do right there. I couldn't just follow what He had them to do. But rather, they were about themselves. You're inferior to other churches, he said. How is it they were inferior other than those things except to be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Huh? What did the Macedonian people do when Paul came into town, even though they were poor and everything else? Hey, we want to give you something. Let us bring something to you. Paul said, no, I'm here to help. No, let us bring something. He goes to the Corinthian people. Bible says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for me, for thy strength is made perfect in weakness. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities. This is Paul. In verse 11, he says, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. You know what else they did? When he came into Macedonia, they came and they came up to Paul and said, what can we do? How can we help you? What can we give? What do you want us to do? He goes into the Corinthian camp and they see him walking into town. Did I do something? They see him walking into town. Does that mean I'm done? They see him walking into town. Usually it's a cowbell if I'm done. Anyway. Are you looking that up now? As he's walking into town, the Corinthian people aren't saying, praise God, Paul's here. They see him coming and they're like, oh man, head to the door. Here he comes, man. Let's get out of here. Oh my Lord, here comes Paul. Let's get out of... Oh, anyway, all right. Now they didn't want anything to do with it, right? They didn't want anything to do with it. They did not want Paul to come into town because they thought they were going to take from them. They weren't willing to give. But yet Paul wrote two letters to the Corinthians trying to help them. What is it that you're willing to give? For was it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except I myself was not burdensome to you? Paul said, I messed up. By not telling you, there's a missionary in town, that's me, and you need to help me. I know of a church in Georgia where the pastor said, I don't want my people to pay me. Then they got to the point where the pastor was moving on. You know what they wanted? Another pastor who didn't expect anything. We want a pastor who wants nothing. Now listen, I have never in all our life, in every church that my wife have ever gone to, I never asked the church what they paid. Because I wanted to follow the will of the Lord. It's not what they pay. But I want you to know that you're missing something. Because the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, and I know you're familiar with it, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, I took from you the ability to have the fruit of God. What fruit was that? Well, if we look back at Macedonia, it was the grace. When I didn't let you give, I took away from the fruit from you. What fruit was that? The fruit of joy. When I took away from you, I took away from you the fruit of what? The fruit of the joy, also of liberality of wanting to give. I took away from you the fruit of being willing to give yourself unto the Lord. I took away from you the fruit of being willing to give yourself unto the authority of a man of God. So much so that when I came into town, you didn't even want to face me. You turned your backs and you walked in the door. I hurt you, church. I made you an inferior church by not teaching you to give. You need to thank God for a pastor who's willing to let you give. You need to thank God for a pastor who says, we're going to have a missions conference. Oh, man, we got to listen to people from Africa and Bolivia and Kalamazoo and all these other places. We got to listen to people from prison. But it's an opportunity for you to listen to God. Would you do what Macedonia did? Would today you be willing to give yourself unto God for whatever it is that He'd have you to do? Listen, just because you throw $5 in the plate or $10 in the plate or $20 in the plate, well, I'm done. I've done my bit for God. Mm-mm. No, you need to give first your own selves. Because God doesn't honor what isn't given with joy in His will. Some of you are still praying over the card. But I would encourage you to come up here and put that card before you and pray over that card. Lord, what would you have me to give? And then when He speaks, do it. You'll have more joy. You'll have just more liberality. We have always been able to do more with what's left after we not only gave of our tithe to the Lord, but we gave to Him. The tithe belongeth unto God. So when you take that dime out and you give it back, you just gave God what's His. I did that with Marissa sitting at the table one day. She put her dime out there. I said, great. I said, now what are you going to give to God? I just did. No. You gave God what's His. What are you going to give to God? And we went to from that to one day sitting in a service like this with a missionary speaking. And he said, I need your help. We need, and he mentioned something. And my daughter took everything that she'd gotten for her allowance, and she had nothing else, and went up and gave it all. I'd like to say I was proud, but I'm not supposed to be. But I was rejoicing in what the Lord had done in her life. And I also know this, that God has blessed her as a result of what she learned. People say, oh no, speaking about money. No, I'm not. I'm speaking about pleasing the Lord. I'm speaking about whatever the Lord tells you to give over and above toward missions that you'd be willing to do it. Are things already to the top? What did God tell you to give? It doesn't matter what it's to the top or whether it's not to the top. It matters what God asked you to give. Can we have heads bowed and eyes closed? I want you to be able to experience God's grace. The only way you're going to experience that is by these people. First, they were willing. Then they gave themselves to the Lord. And then they gave themselves to God's leadership. Would you give yourself to the Lord tonight? If I could get you to stand where you are right now, I don't know what the Lord's spoken to you about tonight. Maybe there's never been a time when you've just surrendered yourself to do whatever it is God would have you do. Yes, we're all standing, if we could, please. If you're able, okay? If you're able. But tonight, there may be some people that say, you know what, I don't even remember the last time I just gave myself to the Lord. Why don't you make that real again tonight? Young person, listen to me. Oh, I can't give anything. I'm a youth. My daughter gave. I don't have anything. Just say, I'll give this. I know a young lady who promised God that she'd give $10 a month and she didn't have anything, and God started providing her jobs so that she could meet what she promised the Lord. I want you to have joy. I want you to have riches of liberality of God in your life. Then you're going to have power. That power is the power of God. If you could just begin to play for just a moment. How many would say, the Lord spoke into my heart tonight? I'm not asking you specifically what it is tonight, but you raise your hand and say, the Lord spoke to my heart about something specific tonight. Maybe it's surrendering to the Lord. Maybe it's just, God bless you. God bless you. Maybe it's giving. You know, God spoke to me about giving. I need to pray about that tonight. Is there someone say that? Yep, we got that coming up. I hope many hands should be going up. Amen. Listen, tonight, whatever it is God tells you to do, would you please do it? I'm going to ask Pastor to come. I'm going to ask him to conduct the rest of this invitation as he would, preacher.
God spoke to your heart, friend. Let me encourage you, while that conviction is fresh, while the moving of the Holy Spirit is there on your heart, respond to him and make that commitment. Let's do business with the Lord now, even as the piano plays.